were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, "Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot. Take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Yes, Victoria.
What does gnashing mean?
Look. Okay. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. They're doing it not because, well, maybe a little bit because they're angry, but because they are in such great torment and pain. Okay. So, the passage begins with Jesus saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then he tells the story about the certain king, and the story is telling us something that the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he ends with, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. And we can see the many who are called as the calling is to be invited to the wedding. Look at verse 3. He sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. So many are called and few are chosen. It's interesting when he says many are called and few are chosen, he's talking especially about those in the church, especially about those who hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus, God the Son, has come and become a man, and that he has lived an obedient life in the place of sinners, because they could not, and that he has died an atoning death to pay for the sins of sinners, because they could not, and that he has risen again, because his work was completed, and those for whom he died, those for whom he lived and died, had been made right with God. That good news is preached in the churches. That good news is what Jesus was announcing about himself. That was the kingdom that was coming. And yet, there were those in the church in those days, and there are those in the church in these days, who hear that call and are more interested in their earthly business than they are in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. More interested in their earthly business than in coming to the wedding and sitting with and having fellowship with the king. More interested even in their earthly business than their blessing, because after they are not willing to come, verse 3, he sends his servants again, telling what blessing is available if you come have fellowship with the king, if you come be in covenant with the king, if you come belong to the king. He says, My oxen and my fatted cattle are killed. All things are ready. And yet, the more the king's servants call to them, the more irritated they get with the servants. And there are some places in which this irritation is just to treat the servant spitefully, the one who preaches the gospel spitefully. And it even happens and has happened throughout the history of the church that those who preach the gospel are killed for doing so by those to whom they preach. And so many who hear the gospel are not worthy. And they are not made worthy through faith in Christ, which is the only way we can be made worthy. Because look who ends up at the wedding. The ones in the highways. Now in the highways would be the robbers. The, as Sophia would say, the bad guys. So he goes and he looks for, he sends his servants to the bad guys and invites them. Why? Because the bad guys are worthy? Because the robbers and murderers are worthy? No. But because his call and his invitation, if it is responded to, is your worthiness. But not only do you need to be made worthy by faith in Jesus Christ, and really made worthy by Christ in whom you believe, but you also need to be dressed worthily. Where do you think the garments came from? Do you think as the servants went out into the highways, they found these rough characters, these burglars and murderers and robbers and so forth, that those kinds of people had wedding garments appropriate for attending a royal wedding? Of course not. Those had to be provided by the king. Those had to be taken from the king at the king's generosity and given even by the same servants who were doing the calling. Just so it is with us and our sanctification. God calls us. We believe in Jesus. We respond to the gospel. Jesus is our worthiness because no one is worthy to be admitted. But then everyone who believes in Jesus and comes properly to the wedding is going to be dressed worthily. And we get that dress from the same king by the same means. He uses his word to make us holy. He uses his word to dress us up, to clean us up, and dress us up, and make us fit for heaven, preparing us for glory when at last we will be sinless and without blemish when we are there. And there is no one that is properly among the saved. There was one who thought he was among the saved, but when it was discovered that he was not dressed worthily, it was discovered to him that he had not been made worthy by faith to be there. And it is too late when you leave this world to start to make progress in holiness. If you think you believe in Jesus, if you think you are one of the chosen, and that you have been made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, but you have never made any progress in holiness whatsoever, then you are self-deceived. But God is not deceived. And the man could give no answer. And just as the first group, who did not even care to think that they were invited or that they were seated at the wedding, that the king's armies went out and destroyed them, so also this one, who was self-deceived and thought that he was properly at the wedding, even though he had not received any garment, he was cast out into outer darkness, where there is weeping and, Victoria, gnashing of teeth. Oh, it hurts so much forever and ever and ever. Okay, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so there's a warning here that how do you know you're chosen? Well, there's two ways that you know you're chosen. One, as you believe in Jesus Christ and you are made right with God by faith. And the other is you start to be dressed in the righteousness of Jesus, not just the righteousness that's counted for you, but also the righteous acts of the saints. We see that in the book of Revelation, especially chapter 19, where they have the white garment, the wedding garment. And he says, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the white garments are the righteous actions of the saints. And so God gives us both, right standing only through what Jesus has done. And he starts from the moment we believe and for the rest of our lives. And then he finishes, when we enter glory, the work of dressing us for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Many are called, but few are chosen. Do not think that just because you're a member of the church, or even just because you're a member of our family, or even just because you know lots of good doctrine, and that you can only be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, do not assume that by your membership or by your knowledge that this shows that you are chosen, that you are saved. But cling to Christ, that his righteousness would be counted for you, and that his righteous character would be put upon you, and that you would grow in holiness. And as you see these things and know that they can only have come from Jesus, you will be more and more sure that you have Jesus Christ as you cling to him for your salvation. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have granted unto us to be called. We pray, Lord, that your gospel would go out, that many more would be called. We grieve for those who see the evidence of you and your righteousness, your holiness, your divinity, your judgment in the creation and in your law written on their hearts, but who know not the gospel and never even hear the call. But Lord, for us who hear the call, grant unto us to remember that what we need is not merely to be called, but to have Christ himself, Christ in whom you have chosen those whom you are saving, Christ whose righteousness and sacrifice are our right standing with you, Christ who by his Spirit makes us to be more and more like himself, so that when we see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Help us, we pray, to purify ourselves, even as he is pure. Grant that each of my children would cling to Jesus and not be satisfied to have been called, not be satisfied to hear the gospel, not be satisfied to know some doctrine, but that they would cling to Christ. Grant this to me and to my wife as well. Glorify yourself by dressing us up for glory, we ask, until we come and enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, for we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's do 425 again. Even though I forgot.